Well, good morning. I'm glad that you're tuning in this morning to listen to Windham Community Chapel service of July 19, 2020. My name is Pastor Gary DeHaas, and it's great to have you listening from your homes or wherever you are today. You know, each week as we bring this podcast to you and as I prepare a message, it's recognizing that God has something to say to you from His Word. He leads and guides me each week to communicate to you, our church family, something from His Word that will encourage your heart or perhaps convict your soul and to prepare you each and every day for godly living. And I pray this day that God will speak clearly into your life. You know, that's also one of the reasons I send out the Tuesday morning Bible study to you. It's that it might encourage you to get into God's Word, that you might discover who He is, that you might develop a closer and more intimate relationship with Him. But also in God's Word, you will find that He prepares you for godly living, for righteous behavior. And God has things very specifically there for you. And so I trust that that Bible study is encouraging you to spend time in God's Word each and every day. And that by doing so, your relationship with God grows stronger and your walk with Him becomes more intimate and more close. Well, this day, Psalm chapter 111 calls us to worship. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is His work, and His righteousness endures forever. Let's open this service with prayer. Lord, on this Sunday in the middle of July in Vermont, we gather together to lift up Your name and proclaim Your goodness in our lives and to this world. Your faithfulness to us is undeniable and undeserved. Some among us have had a difficult and challenging week. Help them to focus their hearts not on their struggles or disappointments, but on Your goodness and Your righteousness. Others have had a great week, full of good things and blessings. Help them to give thanks for who You are and all that You've done for them. For it is in Your presence that our lives are centered and our hearts directed towards righteousness and godly living. For You sustain and strengthen us and provide perfectly for us. And most importantly, You care for us. Your grace and mercy never run out and is new to us each morning. For these and so many other reasons, we turn our hearts to You in praise. As we listen and sing Your praises, our souls rejoice to express our love for You. As we offer up prayers and prayers of petition and adoration, draw us into Your loving kindness. As we listen to Your word preached to us, cause our minds and wills to see and know what You have for us. For all of this, we need the help of the Holy Spirit and the encouragement of our fellow believers. May we receive from You what You have planned for us this day. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a couple of announcements just to keep you current on some of the things. A few weeks ago, I had asked your opinion about interest in a Wednesday night Bible study. And your response came back, not yet. So I will continue to send out the one another Bible studies each Tuesday morning as I have been doing in hopes that it will stimulate you to read, study, and apply God's Word to your life. So many of you have continued to send in your offerings, even though you haven't been able to come and worship with us here in the last few months of time. We just want to say thank you for doing that. I just want to encourage you to keep faithfully giving to the Lord and sending your tithes and offerings to the church. You can either drop them off at the church office or send them in the mail. And we appreciate so much your faithfulness to giving to the church, giving to God through the ministry of the church. Also, continue to send in your prayer requests that we might share them with the entire church family, as well as lift them up on Sunday mornings in our prayer time. And so let's do that right now. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are thankful for who you are and what you mean to us. Thank you for saving us and making us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Thank you for walking with us on our journey through this earth. You're with us every step of the way, through the good times and the challenging periods. We thank you for our fellow believers. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. As we've been learning in our weekly Bible study, help us to continue to develop our relationships according to your word. We do care about each other, and we do try to bear each other's burdens and concerns, and we do want to help to uplift and be a blessing to each other. And there are those with us here this morning that have problems and difficulties and burdens that they're carrying. We want to share their burden and lighten their load by caring for them and praying for them. But the real encouragement is going to come from you through the work of the Holy Spirit in their inner life. Lord, be to them just exactly what they need right now as they reach out to you. Father, we are grateful for Holly Glodgett's new heart. Thank you for sustaining her during the waiting period. Thank you for directing the surgeons as they operated on her. Father, give her a quick recovery. Please help her body to accept this new heart with no complications. Give her strength that she might come home soon. And as she's in the hospital, protect her from any infections that might set her back. And Father, we thank you for E.J. Robert's successful surgery on his knee. As he begins rehabilitation, give him patience and tolerance to endure the discomfort. Give him a quick recovery. And Father, give Marty patience as she helps EJ through this challenging time. Through all of this, help them to trust in you for every need they may have. Thank you, Lord, for leading us as a church. Thank you for providing financially for us during these unusual times. Guide and direct us to reach our neighbors for Christ and to help our people to grow deeper in their relationship with you. For we want to be a continual influence in our community for godliness and holiness and righteousness. Help us to know how to do that in effective ways that will make a difference in people's lives. Father, during this time of social distancing and isolation, I pray for an awakening that will cause people's hearts to turn to you and help stem the tide of wickedness and ungodliness that seems to dominate our world and our town. We pray for the spread of your word around the world. We know that there are Christians in every nation, and many of them live under constant danger and threats on their very lives. We pray for the missionaries that we partner with, for the Rosses in Arizona and Beth Wise in Taiwan. Give wisdom and spiritual strength and make them effective in their work for your kingdom. We pray for the preaching of the Word of God this morning. Help us to be obedient to your commands for holy living. Cause us to desire righteousness and to overcome our propensity for self-will. Give us clarity of thought and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for hearing our prayers this day, for I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I invite you now to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is week 3 in our series on authentic living from 1 Thessalonians. Today we're going to be looking at chapter 2 and verses 13 through 16. And the sermon is entitled, Guided by the Truth. From the church at Thessalonica, we learn of our need to surrender to the truth of God's word today. You know, the founding of the Roman Empire was an incredible achievement. The logistics to pull this off was almost beyond belief. The Roman Empire stretched as far north as present-day Great Britain and as far south as Egypt. It went west all the way to Spain and east to the Caspian Sea. We're talking about all of Europe, a portion of Russia, and countries like modern-day Turkey, Iraq, Iran. Logistically, communication from the headquarters in Rome had to travel as far as 2,000 miles. All this without telephones, email, trains, airplanes, or FedEx. How was the cohesive management of these distant regions accomplished? Remember, this was done hundreds of years as the Roman Empire flourished. Their strategy was brilliant and was carried forth very successfully. You see, administrators were required to spend considerable time in Rome before being assigned a region. The time varied from person to person depending upon their ability to capture the mindset of the emperor. Governors were never sent out to the provinces until their conduct and perspectives were thoroughly consistent with those in Rome. The administrators who represented the empire spent years in disciplined study, learning to interpret the policies and procedures that governed the empire. This way, when decisions had to be made, even in the most remote areas, the governors were able to consistently reflect the wishes of the emperor. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, those who follow Christ are called his ambassadors. To be an ambassador of Christ or to represent him well, it's necessary to understand his thoughts, to know his mind, to be aware of his perspectives. We must be able to articulate his policies and procedures. In fact, our attitude or our mindset needs to be the same as Jesus Christ. This expectation is placed upon all believers. We must be able to consistently reflect the wishes of our Lord in our attitudes, words, and actions. Our conduct and perspective must be consistent with his. Knowing the mind of Christ, understanding his perspective, cannot be accomplished without getting into his word. It is in his word that we discover the God of the Bible. Now, most believers agree with that perspective, at least with lip service. Their lives, however, reveal a different story. Daily Bible reading is hit or miss, and serious Bible study is left to the professionals. Many Christians approach Bible reading like Frank, a man who was down on his luck. One day, when a preacher's car broke down on a country road, he walked to a nearby roadhouse to use the phone. After calling for a tow truck, he spotted his old friend Frank, drunk and shabbily dressed at the bar. "What happened to you, Frank?" asked the good reverend. "You used to be rich." Frank told a sad tale of bad investments that had led to his downfall. "Go home," the preacher said. "Open your Bible at random. Stick your finger on the page, and there will be God's answer." Well, sometime later, the preacher bumped into Frank, who was wearing a Gucci suit, sporting a Rolex watch, and had just stepped out of a Mercedes. "Frank," said the preacher, "I am glad to see things really turned around for you." "Yes, preacher, and I owe it all to you, said Frank. I opened my Bible, put my finger down on the page, and there was the answer. Chapter 11. Well, that may have worked for Frank, but for Christians who want to know God, that method will leave you frustrated and empty. Neglect or misuse of God's word will inhibit spiritual growth. It will prevent you from being an ambassador for Christ that brings honor and glory to his name. It is impossible to capture the mind of Christ without giving special attention to his word. This is what the believers in Thessalonica learned. According to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, this was not always their perspective. Paul writes a glowing testimony about the church at Berea and a less than flattering description of the Thessalonians. He writes, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." We know from church history that the believers in Thessalonica faced persecution and suffering. In this difficult environment, the church learned the value of God's word in their lives. They discover how to be guided by the truth. The presence of Christ in their lives caused them to surrender to the truths of God's word. The same word that brought the message of salvation to them also enabled them to live for Christ. It was this realization that caused the church at Thessalonica to change from a casual approach to God's word as recorded in Acts to a church guided by its truth in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. In that verse, we see three spiritual attitudes that enabled them to embrace God's word and grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. There, the Apostle Paul writes, "And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." Notice, first of all, they appreciated the word. They did not receive the word as from men. They received it as the word of God. The Bible is not like any other book. It is different in origin, character, content, and cost. The Bible is the word of God. It was inspired by the Spirit of God and written by men of God who were used by the Spirit. God's word is holy, pure, and perfect. It was written by 44 men over a period of 2,500 years, yet without error, and is in complete harmony with itself. It cost much, not only to the writers, but also to Jesus Christ, who became a man that the word of God might be given to us. You see, the Thessalonians learned that the word of God is sacred because it is truly God speaking to humanity. And this reality changed the Thessalonians' appreciation of the Bible. Down through history, lives have been changed when people began to appreciate the word of God for what it truly is. In the 1740s, a 25-year-old preacher by the name of George Whitefield traveled throughout New England preaching in open-air services. The following is a first-hand account of one such service. A farmer in Connecticut recorded it. He wrote, "Now it pleased God to send Mr. Whitefield into this land, like one of the old apostles. I felt the Spirit of God drawing me by conviction. I longed to see and hear him and wished he would come this way. Then one morning, all of a sudden, around 8 or 9 o'clock, there came a messenger and said, Mr. Whitefield is to preach at Middletown this morning at 10 o'clock. I was in my field at work. I dropped my tool and that I had my hand and ran home and ran through the house and had my wife get ready quick to go and hear Mr. Whitefield preach at Middletown and ran to my pasture for my horse with all my might, fearing I should be too late to hear him. I brought my horse home and soon mounted and took my wife up and went forward as fast as I thought the horse could bear, as if we were fleeing for our lives, all this while fearing we should be too late to hear the sermon. Sounds a lot like some of you getting ready on Sunday morning to come hear me preach. He goes on, we had 12 miles to ride double in little more than an hour. All along the 12 miles, I see no man at work in his field, but all seem to be gone. When I see Mr. Whitefield come up upon the scaffold, he looked almost angelical, a young, slim, slender youth before some thousands of people and with a bold, undaunted countenance. And my hearing how God was with him everywhere solemnized my mind and put me in a trembling fear before he began to preach, for he looked as if he was clothed with authority from the great God and with a sweet solemn solemnity sat upon his brow. And my hearing him preach gave my heart a heart wound by God's blessing. My old foundation was broken up, and I saw that my righteousness would not save me. Now, folks, that is appreciation of God's word. This uneducated farmer understood that the word of God has the power to change lives. He gave more than lip service to this reality. He acted upon it with great intensity. I wonder, would your life indicate that you appreciated the word of God? Well, not only did the Thessalonians appreciate the word of God, they also appropriated the word. In describing the Thessalonians' reception to the word of God spoken through the apostles, Paul used two distinct words, received and accepted. The first word acknowledges the reality that the church at Thessalonica heard with their ears into their minds the oral transmission of God's word from the apostles. This is an important starting point. We're reminded from the book of Romans that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The second word that Paul used to describe how the Thessalonians accepted the word of God goes far beyond just listening. The word used means to embrace or make it your own. It goes far beyond hearing with our ears into hearing with our heart. Transformation only takes place when we move beyond listening with our ears and begin to listen with our hearts. One of the great dangers that confront Christians in the 21st century is complacency. God's word is readily available to us, and the temptation is to take it for granted. We have multiple translations of the Bible available to us. Most of us own more than one copy of the Bible. Christian radio brings a great variety of gifted preachers into our homes. Books on any subject remotely connected to God is available to us. The internet gives us access to wonderful Christian material. Sunday school provides great teaching to us each week. Bible studies are provided often for our benefit. And each Sunday morning, you can listen to a gifted and trained preacher share God's word with you. The temptation is to yawn and listen with only your ears and not with your heart. Be careful that the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt, doesn't apply to your interaction with God's word. Jesus Christ repeatedly warned people against the wrong kind of hearing. His three warnings are progressive. First, he says in Matthew 13:9, he who has ears, let him hear. In other words, use every opportunity presented to you to hear the word of God. Then, Jesus warns in Mark 4, verse 24, consider carefully what you hear. Don't just hear God and then ignore it. Be careful to meditate upon it and allow it to take root in your life. In parts of Great Britain, after the benediction, people don't immediately rush the exit. They sit down. They meditate upon the word of God just spoken to them, and it allows the Holy Spirit to minister to them. Well, the last warning that Jesus gives against the wrong kind of hearing is found in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. He says, consider carefully how you listen. Some people are careless hearers and lazy learners. God characterizes these people as having itching ears and wanting Christian entertainment, or as dull of hearing and being too lazy to apply themselves to pay attention to its truth. The noted Bible scholar James Gray told a story that underscores the importance of reading the scriptures for personal growth. He said that when he was a young Bible teacher, he became deeply impressed by the peace and spiritual poise of a friend with whom he often talked. Since Gray wanted that same stability, he asked his companion the secret of his confident bearing and his positive outlook. It all started through reading Ephesians, said the man. Gray was surprised by this simple response. He had read Ephesians many times, but had never experienced the same strength he saw in his friend. Noticing Gray's puzzled look, the man explained, "On one occasion, when I was on a short vacation, I took a pocket edition of Ephesians with me. Lying down one afternoon, I read all 6 chapters. My interest was so aroused that I read the entire epistle again. In fact, I did not finally lay it down until I had gone through it some 15 times. He then said, when I arose to go into the house, I was in possession of Ephesians, or better yet, it was in possession of me. I had the feeling that I had been lifted up to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, a feeling that was new to me." This testimony encouraged Gray to master the scriptures for himself. He began to saturate his mind and heart with God's word so that they could freely and effectively communicate it to others. Well, the Thessalonians also show us how to appropriate the word into our lives. They welcomed it into their lives and made it their own. By understanding it and receiving it into our hearts and by meditating upon it, it will soon become part of our inner life. Meditation upon the word of God is the same process that a cow uses when chewing its cud and eating grass. The cow repeatedly regurgitates the grass, chews on it some more, and then swallows it again, only to repeat the process several more times until the grass is ready to be digested. Meditation is to the spiritual life what digestion is to the physical life. If you do not digest your food, you would die. It takes time to meditate, but it is the only way to appropriate the word and grow. Well, after the Thessalonians appreciated the word and appropriated it, they also applied it. Notice that the word of God is at work in you who believe. While appreciating the word is important, and appropriating it into your inner life is critical, it is not enough. We must apply God's word to our lives. God's word is given to mankind in order to know God and transform lives, not just for our intellectual enjoyment. God says this about his word in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And in regard to applying the word of God to our lives, God says in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do so, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. The word of God was given that our lives might be transformed into disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, one who looks like, sounds like, and lives like their Lord and Master. Once a young man was going to take a holiday at the seashore. He rented a room in a fine hotel, and the room contained a huge window overlooking the ocean. He had a perfect view as he arose each morning and was able to observe the sunset on the water at the end of each day. When the young man returned home and was asked about his visit to the seashore, he replied, "Oh, the window in my room was incredible. It was about 8 feet by 10 feet, and the pane was put in perfectly. The hotel management kept the window spotlessly clean, and you should have seen the curtains, which could so easily be opened and closed over the window. It was wonderful." His friend, puzzled, said, "But I thought you were going to see the ocean. You've only told me about the window." I wonder, does that describe the way you approach the Word of God in your life? Are you so caught up in appreciating the Word that you don't appropriate it into your life? Are you so focused on appropriating it into your inner life that you neglect to apply it to your daily life? When the Thessalonians applied God's word to their lives, what happened? Look in verses 14 through 16 with me. For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same things that churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to all men in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. One result is mentioned. They became imitators of the first Christians from Judea. And no, they didn't get a ticker tape parade for this, although they did receive the approval of God and the admiration of the Apostle Paul. Rather, it meant that they suffered persecution because of their faith, with the threat of death always present. Proper obedience to God's word has always placed the believer at odds with the world that they live in and leads to strife and persecution, even in the 21st century. So from the church at Thessalonica, we learn of our need to surrender to the truth of God. Long ago, God asked, "How can you keep your lives pure and free from the stain of sin?" The psalmist responded with this answer, "By living according to your word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." I wonder this morning, what's in your heart? Is it God's word, or are you clinging to sin and selfishness? You can be guided by the truth of God's word if you will follow the example of the Thessalonians and appreciate, appropriate, and apply God's word to your life. This surrender will transform your life. Let's pray together. Lord, there are many places that we can go in this world to discover truth, or at least someone's version of truth. It seems that everyone has an opinion and everyone is an expert. We have unprecedented access to information through electronic means that the Apostle Paul couldn't even imagine. Despite all this, your word remains your word. Scripture was given to your people to guide us into right thinking and right behavior. It reveals who you are in stunning detail. It is absolutely true, and it is a standard that all other information must be measured against. It doesn't change because you can't change. Help us as your children to accept, appreciate your word, and accept it and cherish it as a love letter from our Heavenly Father. Help us to accept it as truth and apply it consistently to our life every day and in every situation. Might you use it to change our lives from the inside out as your Holy Spirit enables us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I want to close with this benediction from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Have a great week. The Lord bless you. We'll see you next week.